Hi everyone, welcome back to my podcast. This is Sanya Singhania and I am so happy that you're here. This is the hardest step, you know, clicking on the podcast of self-forgiveness. That is probably the biggest leap that you have managed to take after maybe a lot of pressure from your past, or maybe not, but you're here and it's all good. So today, as you know, we're going to talk about self-forgiveness from A to Z. We're going to explore our feelings, where is it actually coming from, and how to really uproot it from our system to just leave that burden off our shoulders and really feel the moments of our lives with absolute self-love and knowing that you're worthy of everything in this world. And once you have taken the lesson from your mistakes, I think there's nothing stopping you from being worthy. So there's a very warm invitation from us to you to sit down in a comfortable space and listen to this podcast while you're maybe passively cleaning your room or just massaging your feet with warm oil, just giving yourself a head massage, or just sitting doing nothing, which is great because at the end of this session we have Ginny give us an amazing meditation experience of almost 5 to 10 minutes, which will give you a peek inside somatic therapy and how amazing it is to sit through it and listen to it in Ginny's voice. There's a very warm invitation from us to you to sit down in a comfortable space and listen to this podcast while you're maybe cleaning your room or just massaging your feet with warm oil or just giving yourself a head massage or maybe just sitting doing nothing, which is great because at the end of this session, we have Ginny give us an amazing meditation experience of almost 5 to 10 minutes, which will give you a peek inside somatic therapy and how amazing it feels to sit through it and listen to it in Ginny's voice. Trust me, I did it while she was saying everything and it was just mind-blowing. So without any further ado, let's get into it. Ginny is a very warm, calm, peaceful soul who is such an amazing healer, a somatic therapist, and a wonderful human being. She has an amazing Instagram channel where you can freely follow her because she talks about this really enlightening stuff there. So I highly recommend that you check it out. So yeah, let's all welcome Ginny Hoyt. Hi, Ginny. Welcome to my podcast. Oh, wow, it feels so amazing to have you here today. You have enormous energy and so much positivity literally reeking out of you through my screen. What a pleasure to have you on my podcast. How are you doing today?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I am doing wonderful. I just feel like I am buzzing with energy to talk about self-forgiveness today.
Amazing. Well, kindly introduce yourself to our listeners. What got you here, Ginny? How did you unlearn and learn things in life that have made you land over here in this career?
So my name is Ginny. I am a somatic life coach, and you are so right. It was a long journey that got me to where I am today. Definitely a lot of personal experience in the realm of self-growth, self-forgiveness, learning to build my own confidence. It has been a whole process. And so I guess just to take it to the beginning, growing up, I struggled a lot with confidence and finding direction in my life. I just felt really powerless, I guess I would say. Just I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just felt kind of like a little aimless. And I resented that a lot. It was something I did not like about myself, and it was something that I really struggled with emotionally for so many years, which actually also kind of tumbled into a really long struggle with anxiety as well, which is also something that, you know, this work ties in so nicely to help work with, cope with. While I was struggling with anxiety and just not really knowing what I wanted to do with my life, I eventually, I tried so many different things, you know, prescription medication, traditional therapy, and I just wasn't finding any success. and getting really frustrated about that. And I stumbled into somatic healing, I would say, in, I think, 2018. It just kind of fell into my lap. And it was the first thing that provided me any relief with anxiety and really helped me unpack years of conditioning, limiting beliefs from other people and society that I was holding on to that was keeping me so stuck from making the progress that I wanted to in my life. And it was through this radical transformation of really empowering myself and learning how much control I really had in my life and being able to let go of things that were holding me back for so long that I just knew what I wanted to do was share this with other people and help teach them to do the same.
Wow, I love that, Ginny. What an inspiring story. You know, when you said that somatic therapy just fell on your laps, I just remember this beautiful quote that energy therapy, you don't find energy therapies find you. So when I read your introduction, I was already aware of what kind of a person I'm going to meet. Your bio showed that how you are passionate about what you do, and you're so hell-bent on creating change with your conscious and kind efforts. It is so beautiful. And it showed that it is coming from an experience of yourself. So I'm so grateful to have guests like you on my podcast, Ginny. So as you're aware today, we're going to talk about self-forgiveness, which is, I don't know where to begin with. It is such an important part of healing and growing and living. And it is sadly so common for people to go on with their lives and with that heaviness and sheer complexity of self-blame and self-hatred. It keeps on showing in so many aspects of their lives without them realizing. So Ginny, before we really delve deep into the topic, I just really want to cover the surface and the basis of what self-forgiveness really is. You know, let's start with the very basics. And why is it so important when it comes to healing from the very insides and increasing the quality and richness of our lives? Why does self-forgiveness play such an elemental role?
Such a good question. Yes, I agree. A good place to start. I would say self-forgiveness is the ability to let go and drop the pressure we put on ourselves to be perfect human beings. So many of ourselves, and this was definitely the case for me, hold ourselves to these impossible standards of perfection. And when we inevitably fall short, as we always will, because nobody is a perfect person, we treat ourselves terribly for it. And when you kind of step back and look at this, the way that we're setting ourselves up almost for failure, let me set this impossible standard for myself, and then I'm going to be so angry with myself when I don't measure up. It seems like a foolish way to live your life and to treat yourself. It just doesn't make much sense when you look at it. And the ability to learn the skill of self-forgiveness, I feel like, is imperative in living a high quality life. It's so important to be able to go throughout your day, and when you make mistakes and when you mess up, be able to just take it and roll with it. Hey, it's okay. Brush it off and keep it moving. You can certainly, you know, extract value from when you mess up and learn the lessons that making mistakes give you, but there's no reason why we should be beating ourselves up, tearing ourselves apart when we make those mistakes. It just doesn't serve us in any capacity.
Yeah, I completely, absolutely agree with you, Ginny. And when you said about when we, you know, we can extract value from this, I would like to ask you, where do we, you know, strike that perfect balance on, you know, forgiving yourself for whatever we do and learning from it? So we're not judging ourselves. You know, self-forgiveness is all about when we are not judging ourselves for doing something bad. You know, acceptance and acknowledgement is a part of it. But then how can we learn from our mistakes? So when do we strike that balance?
Oh, I would absolutely say changing your relationship with failure is, it just has to be part of that journey. Because if you feel like when you make a mistake, you've done something wrong or you deserve to be punished, that's a huge red flag. A motto I love to live my life by is life is always happening for you, not to you. And when I come across an obstacle or I make a mistake, it's never a reflection of who I am as a person, my value as a person, a judgment of how good or bad I am. It's just, okay, what do I get to learn from this? I kind of like to look at obstacles or, you know, making mistakes or challenges as just like guiding lights from the universe of just showing me like, hey, this is what you need to look at and work on to get to the next level of where you're trying to go. And that's all that it is. It doesn't say anything about like you're a good person, you're a bad person because you've made these mistakes. It's just, you know, my worthiness is never in question. But when I come across an obstacle, it's just like showing me like, hey, here's what you need to look at. Almost just like, yeah, like little helpful hints of like, here's what you need to get to where you want to be. And that's all that there is. There's no deeper meaning behind it of, you know, self-worth.
Yeah, that's such a perfect answer. I love that quote that life happens for us and not to us. That's absolutely beautiful. So, you know, we all have imperfect pasts and aggression, anxiety, addiction, greed, all these feelings and emotions are something that we're conditioned to feel. And holding them with kindness and forgiveness can become so hard. I mean, all these imperfections start feeling personal. We condemn ourselves for being imperfect when we know that perfection does not exist. But, you know, even I'm a person who always tries to seek perfection. You know, I can call myself a perfectionist, but I don't want to be proud of calling myself a perfectionist anymore. You know, I'm trying to become better every single day, but that does not involve healthy feelings sometimes. And to really let go of the blame and the self-hatred can become so, so difficult. So why is this process of self-forgiveness so difficult in general? For anybody, be it a recent, you know, mistake committed by us or a deep trauma or generational trauma, if you're talking about that, why is it so difficult to let everything go and finally accept that it is what it is?
Yeah, such a great topic. And there's so much I could say about this question alone. I would say it's so hard for so many of us because there is a lot of baggage we tend to carry around from our past, from past traumas, where, you know, things that happened to us in the past fell out of our control. A lot of the work that I do, it does stem back from childhood where really nothing was in our control. No, we didn't get to really make any of our decisions. And if somebody made a decision for you that didn't feel good, it really wasn't what you needed. You never got what you needed. We're just playing out these scenarios over and over and over again in our adult life, perhaps most of the time, I would say, unknowingly trying to get those initial emotional needs met. And if you just look at it on the surface, that can be kind of hard to connect those dots and see, like, you know, how does me struggling with perfectionism now connect to, you know, my 5-year-old self? But that's why I'm such a huge fan of somatic work and inner child work, is when you can let your body be part of the conversation, it holds so much of the truth. Like, it holds on to that energetic exchange of you as a child struggling with not feeling loved enough, not feeling safe in the care of your parents. And you just like learned going through that experience, you know, if we're talking about perfectionism specifically, if I do all the right things and if I never mess up, then nobody has any reason not to love me or not to treat me the way that I want to. And it can be really hard if you're not aware that those are kind of the subconscious factors that are playing out and driving your behavior today. It's really hard to override your subconscious. It's really hard to push against that because it's so much more powerful than our conscious mind. Our subconscious is really the one who is, you know, driving our 95% of our waking hours and decision-making process. And so if you're not aware that that's kind of playing in the background of your behavior, it can feel really hard to know how to go about forgiving yourself and know how to go about releasing the coping strategies we picked up as kids to feel safe in a world that was most of the time out of our control.
I completely agree with you, Jeannie. You know, as I told you before we started recording our podcast, you know, my laptop got drenched in the rain. So let me just, expand on that story and tell our listeners what happened with me. So I was in my university and I was just standing in a shed waiting to go home. I was just waiting for the rain to stop or maybe just get a little bit lesser. But it was not showing any signs of getting any better. It was raining very heavily and I don't know what happened to me. I had every chance of staying in my university for a few more hours or call my mom or my dad to pick me up. And I knew that my laptop was at risk. I knew it. So I had my scooter and I just sat on it and I left. I covered my laptop with a plastic, but I knew that it wasn't enough. But I don't know why I was in such a hurry. I wasn't even thinking enough. And I just left for home. And when I came back home, the screen of my laptop was almost gone. So it was really hard for me to accept the gravity of what I had done. I had committed a mistake that had put everything of my data and everything on jeopardy. This laptop was so expensive. I was feeling so guilty of, you know, wasting my parents' money or whatever. There was so much guilt, shame, self-blaming. And I was keeping on repeating those situations that I could have done otherwise. You know, I could have waited in the college. I could have called for help. I could have, maybe just put my laptop inside a better safe place or maybe just left it in my college or anything of that sort. And it just gave me such a hard time. I was not able to sleep, and it was such a bad episode overall. But one day when my laptop turned on and I saw the screen, it was like the screen was really bad and I was not able to look at the words very nicely. And when I looked at my friend's laptop, the screen was absolutely slick. You know, it was clean, nice, and it was just like what my laptop used to be before. And I immediately started tearing up that my laptop is not perfect anymore. It is not like it was before. And I felt like, oh my God, what am I even thinking? Like, why am I striving for perfection when it doesn't exist? You know, these things happen with everybody. I think this thing just opened an opportunity for me to stop playing by the book. To stop striving for perfection every single time. Okay, you know, I have a little few spots on my screen, but it is okay. I can manage. I don't really need to have perfect situations, perfect people, perfect things in my life all the time. And this fact about striving for perfection is just so damaging to the soul. You are constantly blaming yourself that you did not achieve the idea or live up to the idea who you thought you should be. And I think letting go of these situations is not just for the past. It is on a daily basis. You know, you keep committing mistakes on a daily basis. You say something to somebody or you that hurts them really badly, or you lose a precious thing of yours and it is gone forever. And you keep blaming yourself that, I did this, this happened because of me. But it's not going to help. The self-blaming is not going to make the situation any better. And and all the mechanisms of meditation, journaling, all these really helped me. But what really helped me the most is knowing that all of the self-blaming was not going to make the situation any better. So this statement helped me the most. And I want our listeners to also understand that if you have learned from the situation, so I have now become more responsible towards my possessions, towards my electronics, towards my laptop. But after that learning was done, after I have learned my lesson, I am also willing and, looking forward to move on from that situation and forgive myself. Because the constant, just self-hatred and condemning myself that I committed, this is not going to help the situation anyway. My laptop is not going to come back to its original state if I keep doing that. Of course, it's going to trouble you for a few days, but you just got to let it go. Because it is truly what was blocking me from true freedom of living every moment. It was directly blocking me from my capacity to be happy, from the capacity to actually keep going, resuming with my work. And it was absolutely pathetic, but it was a lifelong lesson for me to not strive for perfection. And I'm so grateful. I'm just taking this opportunity of learning, you know. This is just something that enlightened something inside me, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many of the deeper life lessons we come across can come from such simple situations like this. It doesn't have to be this big traumatic event, you know. You can certainly learn a really deep lesson about letting yourself off the hook and, you know, releasing resistance around a situation you find yourself to be in the mundane. A metaphor I love that actually you used some words that kind of hinted at this as well is if you look at life or reality as a river, like things are happening, it's always moving, always flowing, it will just continue to move. When you find yourself in a situation you're not happy with and you start putting up resistance, I don't like this, I don't like that this happened, I'm mad that I did this. It's like putting a dam in the river and you're blocking yourself from being able to continue to go with the flow and just let things unfold the way they're supposed to.
Yeah.
I heard you say the word blocking, and that's exactly what came to mind is you're putting the dam in the river. You're the one who's blocking it and making it painful and resisting. You know, if you look at your laptop situation, you know, that is a hard thing to deal with. Computers are expensive. That's a tough situation. Yeah, but if we can remove that block and just allow yourself to be like, okay, this is the situation I'm in now. What's my next step? How am I going to move forward? Instead of keeping yourself stuck in this place of why did I make that decision? I shouldn't have gone out in the rain. You're keeping yourself stuck in the past, preventing yourself from taking those forward moving steps.
I love that metaphor so much. Thank you so much for sharing, Jeannie. And one thing I would really like to say that what I learned from this situation is also that self-forgiveness is a big form of self-love. So there are things that one can do to at least, make yourself feel better. And when you're trying to, just caress your own self, you know, you're comforting your own self. So you are basically providing comfort, right? So I think it's one of the biggest forms of self-care. So, Jeannie, are there any things one can do to at least get a head start, like something like doing loving kindness meditations or journaling? And in journaling also, I would really like to be specific because, as I told you, when I first started journaling, I just used to interpret that journaling meant writing whatever happened during our day. And that is true. You know, we are supposed to do that in journaling. But when we're trying to target self-forgiveness over here, what is it that people should really or we should really start writing in our diaries? So to get a head start on our journey to forgiving ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I am also a huge fan of journaling. I have consistently kept a journal for at least the last 10 years or so, and it's been imperative in my healing. Oh, yeah, I'm a huge fan. but what I love pairing journaling with is inner child work. I'm not sure. You mentioned that you had just recently gotten into like inner child meditations.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, totally. And especially with self-forgiveness, that was the key. For me to feel, it helped me feel enough compassion towards myself to be able to feel like self-forgiveness was even on the table because I held myself to such a high standard. I felt like I didn't deserve to be forgiven. And I had to really work to be able to summon up enough empathy to realize like, I do deserve love. I do deserve to treat myself gently. And inner child work is really what did that for me, which was, you know, paired with the meditations and the journaling, just having these experiences where when you do feel triggered or you're in a situation where you're finding it really hard to treat yourself kindly is, and again, this pairs so beautifully with the somatic work, is kind of dropping into your body and getting a read on like what's going on internally. Do you feel a contraction in your chest? Do you feel just like a ball in the pit of your stomach, like what sensations are you getting from your body? And kind of sinking into a meditative state and considering, you know, when did I previously feel this way? When are some of my earliest memories when I felt triggered that I would get these sensations? And it is so incredible how spot on your body will be to give you those answers of, do you remember when you were 7 years old and, you know, your parents did this, that, or whatever, and it led you to feeling not great, and you had to learn these coping strategies to get through those uncomfortable situations where you had no power to protect yourself. And it's connecting with that younger version of yourself, that little, you know, it could be at whatever age in childhood, it could be, you know, really early, like 3 years old, or maybe, you know, there are some situations you were in as a teenager that, you know, you could feel really connected to, but resonating with that younger version of you. And I would say for people who really struggle with the self-forgiveness, starting there, can you forgive that five-year-old version for not being able to take care of themselves in that moment? Can you love them for doing the very best that they could, even if their best may not have looked that good? Can you forgive them for being imperfect? And I find that that's a much easier bridge to cross. Because we have so much empathy, we know so intimately the stories of these younger versions of ourselves. We know how hard they tried to be the best that they could. We know how badly they wanted to be loved and how badly they wanted to feel safe. And we feel so intimate with that relationship with our younger selves. It feels so much more effortless to forgive them, so much easier to love them. And it's through building that relationship and through time realizing I'm still that person. I'm still that little version of myself. And that feeling of self-forgiveness just so much more easily translates to the adult version of you and makes it a much more seamless process. And so to tie that back to journaling, when you have these experiences of connecting to your inner child, journaling, what did that five-year-old version, that 12-year-old version, that 16-year-old version of you want to say back then that they never got the chance to say? What did they want to hear from your parents, your caregiver, your teacher, whoever it was that made you feel unsafe or unvalued or unloved that they didn't get to hear back then? And being the person that they needed in that past experience, learning how to meet that unmet emotional need for them is what I love to journal on. Giving that younger version of you the experience that they were looking for is so beautiful. So much gets to be released through that process, and it's just so cathartic. And once you can meet that unmet emotional need, it is transformative and just incredible to watch how quickly the blocks we've put on ourselves of adults just kind of get to dissolve from our life. Where, you know, going back to our perfectionism example, if you've met that unmet emotional need of perhaps, you know, what I had mentioned earlier, that maybe if you felt like you were unloved and your story was, if I just do everything right, then I'll be good enough for someone to love me. And you can go through that experience with your five-year-old self and give them the love that they were looking for, that the perfectionism kind of just dissolves from your life and you realize, like, this is not serving me at all. This was not getting my needs met anyway. This is a coping strategy I get to drop now because I've given myself what I was really searching for this entire time. So that's what I love to journal about, and I find that to be just an incredible tool.
That is so beautiful, Ginny. And you described the inner child healing and the process of what we are actually feeling when we are doing that process so perfectly. I mean, when I first did the inner child meditation, it was so heavy yet beautiful for me. So when I imagined that 12-year-old girl sitting on the corner of the bed, it was as if exactly what you described. So I was able to empathize with that little girl so much because I knew that I have lived in her body once. I have been in that situation once. And empathizing became so easy. It just came so naturally. The forgiveness came so naturally. And the root cause of that situation was just picked up and thrown in the garbage. Mm-hmm. And it was so effortless because, and you know, what this translated into was that now that I'm in my present being, and if I'm committing any mistake, I know that when I am 30, 40, 50 years old, I'm going to come back to this 21-year-old self and I'm going to forgive her because I know that when I'm 30, 40, 50 years old, everything is going to turn out just fine. And I'm going to come back to my 21-year-old self and I'm going to tell her that, see, Sanya, you figured this yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason for you to keep blaming yourself because I am telling you, you figured this out just fine. And this affirmation or this acknowledgement and this belief that, you know what, everything is just going to be fine. And it is just me, the future me, coming back to me and telling this to myself. This is so powerful. I never knew that there's something like this existed. And, you know, I feel that self-forgiveness can become so swift with these therapies, somatic therapy, inner child therapies, and all of those therapies that exist. They are so, so powerful. They are so beautiful. When I saw that little girl crying, I knew what she went through. And I just wanted to hug her and tell her that everything is going to be okay. There's no need of worrying. And when the guider, you know, the meditation, it was guided meditation. So the guide, when she was telling me, you know, that ask her if she is willing to extend her hand and accept the forgiveness from you. She didn't even have to say it. 5 minutes before that, I had already expressed that gesture to that little girl, to the little Sanya. And I was like, you know what? This is coming so naturally. The guy didn't even have to try telling me that you need to do this or you need to do that to express your care, comfort, or forgiveness to that little child. It came so naturally. And I am so grateful that I got to experience that. I would encourage all listeners to go and experience it. You know what? I'm going to link down some guided meditations from YouTube and a few links here and there that I have practiced before so that people can really understand where to start from. But Jeannie, this was the way you described it. I think I have described it really in a messed up way, but I think you put my feelings in words really perfectly. I really appreciate that. But you know, when we were, I would like to come back towards perfectionism for a bit. And when you said that, there was something that I was reminded of, that when you talked about triggers and all of these things and linked to our traumas and blame, I would like to ask you, what is the impact of society on us? So, you know, be it peers or social media, you know, social media can put so much pressure on ourselves to strive for perfectionism, right? So they're just telling us to be different. You should be doing this. You are not this. You should be striving for this. And this is such a huge, painful message. So how is it that we can stay unaffected, you know, by the messages that society is giving us? Or what is really the impact?
This is a huge question. Something that I actually was just speaking to someone else yesterday about that I just loved this little soundbite for is this journey of going inward and shedding light on the subconscious that is, you know, driving our actions, our behaviors, healthy or unhealthy, is this process of learning to take off the conditioning we put on to protect ourselves in situations where we weren't in control. And I love that little soundbite. I think it's so eloquent. And I would absolutely say that, you know, the conditioning that I'm speaking about in that little soundbite comes from, you know, family members. It comes from society. It comes from peers. You know, it's just everything that you pick up as a child. Children, we know this, are always learning. They absorb everything in those, you know, beginning years, good or bad. They take it all in. They're so aware. And sometimes, unfortunately, we are picking up these unhealthy stories from other people about how we should be, what we should do. This word should, holds so much baggage to me, because to me that says, here's what I'm expected to do from an external source, from somebody else that's not me. And so I tell my clients all the time, if I hear the word should, I'm like, get rid of it. Like, you, there is no should. You do not, you are not obligated to do anything that does not feel like a whole body yes to you. And by diving into that subconscious and doing the inner child work, really the end goal of it all is learning to reconnect with your intuition, learning to reconnect to your own inner guiding presence that will tell you all the right steps for you to take that is individual to your journey. That is your North Star, your guiding light that helps take you to with the path that's meant for you, and being able to release the baggage, the conditioning that society can put on us, because it can be insufferable. I mean, not only insufferable because it can be so heavy, the stories, but also so contradictory. I think, this just popped into my head, but I just saw this video the other day of this montage of like all these contradictory stories that women specifically hear about how it's important to age gracefully, but don't let yourself go. And it's important to speak up for yourself, but don't be too aggressive. And that, if you let that, it can just be devastating to your psychology as a person. And that's, I think that there is nothing more important than doing this inner work to be able to let go of all of those expectations, of all of the shoulds that society can put on our shoulders, and realize I don't have to listen to that. That doesn't have to hold any power over me if I choose not to let it hold any power over me. And it's reconnecting to your intuition and feeling the significance of how much your voice matters in your own story. And, you know, you can do big, uncomfortable things. You can take risks. You can do scary things and be okay. That you don't have to, listen to all of the shoulds. You can let it go and learn how to develop your own confidence and your own strength, inner strength as a person.
How beautiful, Jenny. I love that because, when we are not doing something that is according to the society, quote unquote, we feel kind of kicked out, rejected, abused. Mm-hmm. And we feel like we are locking ourselves into personal badness. And that's what I guess makes us feel unforgivable. Right? Because childhood trauma, I feel it disconnects us from feeling of belonging. Mm-hmm. And that is the only reason I think we fail to love ourselves unconditionally. I hope you agree with me.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of what separates ourselves from our intuition is, early childhood experiences of us just trying to cope.
Yeah, you were absolutely right about children absorbing every single step of whatever they're said. I mean, it's like a bread absorbing water. You know, it just absorbs everything. And I think true forgiveness is really a process, because when such events have been happening right from the start of our life, I think it can't go overnight or just in a matter of days or months. It takes a lot of time. It's an everyday effort. It's an everyday process. And because it is something that is unfolding something really, really deep in our hearts. And the courage to be, when we're talking about inner child healing or somatic therapy, there's a lot of courage involved when we are trying to face our inner child, and when we are trying to face that particular person who had gone through all of that, because seeing that person being so vulnerable in front of us, who knows exactly what they went through, it can bring up a lot of bad memories, and it can trigger a lot of other feelings, which can eventually put us in a loop that doesn't allow us to move forward. So the courage that requires for us to be with our wounds, to watch it go, just in front of our eyes, we can watch it go from our body and from our life. So I think this being with the sense of vulnerability underneath what drives those behaviors is so, so powerful. It requires a lot of energy. And, all the mistrust and violence and trauma that went into that situation, it can trigger a lot of other feelings. So it can actually give us a feeling that trying out all of these therapies to, you know, as a form of self-forgiveness, it could be really hard, you know, for somebody to just initiate it. But I want to remind our listeners to take baby steps. You know, it is not necessary for everybody to reach at a point overnight. You cannot forgive yourselves overnight. It is a very, very deep process that involves a lot of integrity. It involves a lot of discipline. If you are not committed and disciplined towards this process, I'm sorry, but it's going to fail you, and you're going to again feel like a failure, and then again, you know, it's a loop, it's a never ending loop. So just cultivating a wise and forgiving heart is really, really difficult. And I think Ginny and I both acknowledge this thing openly. And there is an always invitation for you to just give yourself some space and take a breath. Just give yourself a moment where you realize that you are human. You are not here to live up to somebody else's expectations or watch these videos on YouTube where they're trying to teach you that you should get slim in these many days, or you should gain weight in these many months. Just don't follow those, you know, as Jeannie said so rightly, I think your intuition is everything. Trust your body, trust your decisions, and trust what you're doing is right for you. You don't need to listen to anybody else if you are not feeling right about it. And so all of this is, I think it reminds me that all of this connected me to the affirmations that I used to write about myself and to uplift myself. Those 5 minutes in the morning used to set the tone of my day. And Ginny, can you tell some of these affirmations to our audience, to our listeners, so that they can also, maybe practice for themselves? And why do these affirmations really help in self-forgiveness?
Absolutely. I have three affirmations that I absolutely love, and I'm so happy to share. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of my work is about meeting unmet emotional needs as the younger versions of ourselves. So these affirmations are really crafted around speaking to those emotional needs, which are like, you know, feeling loved, feeling safe, feeling valued, feeling connected. And so my first one, that was so helpful for me specifically because a lot of my journey had to do with anxiety and feeling unsafe. So I experienced a lot of hypervigilance. I felt like I always had to be hyper aware of everybody else because I felt so unsafe in my body. And I just found it so grounding, this affirmation of just simply telling myself, I am physically safe. Just making that super clear and putting that into words really helped my body relax and understand, like, you are under no physical threat. You can drop the shoulders. You can relax the muscles in your stomach. You do not need to brace yourself for a fight. You do not need to be ready to defend yourself at any moment. Just, it's so simple. I am physically safe. Just felt so relieving for me to hear. That one's probably my favorite, even though it is the simplest one.
Amazing.
My next one I love so much is, I am worthy regardless of what I do or do not do. And what I love so much about this one is that separation we spoke about earlier between failure and accomplishment and how it doesn't affect your value as a human being. You could get nothing done today. You could not cross off a single thing off of your to-do list, and you are still worthy as a person. You still deserve good things. You still deserve to be loved. So I love that this one can kind of help separate those two things. I am worthy regardless of what I do or do not do. And my last one is, I deserve to be treated with love and respect by myself and others. Such a great reminder that you deserve to be treated gently by yourself, that you should be treating yourself nicely, talking to yourself nicely, being gentle with yourself, respecting yourself, just as much as you would expect another person to treat you that way as well. So those, I would say, those are my three favorite affirmations I love to share.
Absolutely. Those were so amazing, Ginny. What I like to add this to myself is that, you know, always giving myself a reminder that the breath is always there for me has always served me great. So whenever I have a feeling of overwhelmness or anything really that has connected me to my past mistakes or not allowing me to move forward or acting like, as you said, that block, I would always know that the breath is always there for me. And I would just try to breathe deep for 4 seconds, 5 seconds. And immediately, like in seconds, every emotion has changed in me. So it is so beautiful how the breath instantly manages our emotions and our thinking patterns. And I think this simple thing, the breath that we're subconsciously doing, is something that we need to be reminded of. And if the breath is something that can help us so much, then I think the affirmations that you have just listed, they are just on another level. You know, when we're feeling physically safe, we are reminding ourselves that apart from being feeling emotionally insecure, at least our physical self is better or is at a safe place. And I think reminding ourselves of our safety and of our comfort and of our gratitude and writing down what we're grateful for and a gratitude list, all these are just reminders that not everything is bad in this world. You know, there are positive and nice parts and bits that do exist. So I think these affirmations not only make us realize about the good parts in our life, but also make us hopeful for the future. So it is not false hopes. I would not say that affirmations give you false hopes, because that's absolutely not the case. It just gives you the hope to move forward in a very positive way, considering the situation that you're in, always allowing ourselves to give us some space. And I think it's one of the most beautiful things ever. And so yeah, that's amazing, Ginny. And you know what, we've been talking about somatic therapy and inner child therapy, we've been using such heavy words, and I think my listeners would really love to know what somatic therapy really is. And coming from a coach, I think it would have been amazing, rather than googling these terms after listening to them. I would really appreciate if you could elaborate on what somatic therapy really is, Ginny.
Yeah, definitely. I totally understand. I think somatic therapy or somatic healing is a pretty elusive term. Not too many people know what I'm talking about if they haven't already become familiar with it. It's just not commonly used. To put it as simply as possible, I would say somatic healing is just about allowing your body to play a role in the conversation of your inner healing. What I found, it's very powerful stuff. And this is what I think was the missing piece for me when I was in traditional therapy, was that it was all very cognitive. I was just talking about situations a lot. So it was very much in the mind. Like I was just talking. But I wasn't seeing any progress. I felt like I was just being taught to cope with my situation, but I wanted to be healed. I wanted these problems fixed. And I just wasn't getting there. And I realized that my body was not, you know, wasn't being expressed. It wasn't able to release the trauma, release the pain it was holding on to. But somatic healing is really dropping into like what's current for me, what am I holding on to, and allowing your body to have the space to express those things, whether that's through movement, breath work, crying, screaming. It's transmuting that energy that you've been holding on to for years, that has been blocking you and limiting you and keeping you second guessing, and getting it out of your system so that it's gone, something you no longer have to deal with anymore. It's incredibly powerful and was the biggest game changer for me in my healing experience personally.
Oh, wow, that is so beautiful. I think after hearing this, a lot of people will become aware about these therapy methods. And I think apart from seeking help from nutritionists and doctors and health coaches in their, improvising their health issues. I think these therapies can also form a very cornerstone of spiritual well-being as well. So, as you had mentioned, improving the richness and quality of your life, it is so important that you just not focus on physical symptoms, but also emotional symptoms. The quality of your life usually depends upon our feelings and how we respect ourselves, how we treat ourselves and also others. So what you said, I think it is so amazing how these therapies can help us do that. Spiritual health is something that I'm such a fan of, and I'm still in the process of gaining my own spiritual health back. I think the pandemic in all these situations has snatched our peace and our calm from us, but it is also given us an opportunity to introspect and also deep dive into such therapy so that we can heal ourselves from the very beginning. So that was amazing, Jeannie. You have summed up somatic therapy very, very beautifully. And to all our listeners, Jeannie has very, very kindly agreed to do a little exercise with us to just wrap this podcast up just for a few minutes, if you can spare to keep your device, your phone, or whatever you're listening this on aside, sit in a comfortable place, or maybe lie down and follow what Jeannie is going to tell us. I'm going to do the same. And this little exercise is going to give you a little synopsis of what self-forgiveness practices really look like. And thank you so much, Jeannie, that you have agreed to do this. And I now give this to you, let you carry on.
Thank you so much. I am super excited to share a little bit about what somatic healing can offer if it's something that you've never tried before. Firstly, since this is going to be a self-forgiveness focused practice, before we even get started, is to just take a moment and think about what is a particular situation you've been dealing with lately. That you would like to forgive yourself for, a piece of your life that you would like to just feel a little bit more gentle around, to soften up a little bit. If you want to pause the episode for a second to, bring something to mind, please feel free to do that. But once you have an idea in your mind of an area of life you would like to feel a little bit more empathy around, feel a little bit more compassion around, I invite you to close your eyes. And just like Sonia said, get yourself comfortable. And let's start off by taking 3 deep cleansing breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. Take a nice big deep inhale. And release through the mouth. Another inhale through the nose. And release through the mouth. Last one, inhale. And release. Bringing to mind that situation you picked out earlier. Just taking a moment to bring that vividly into your mind. Whether it's in regards to a person, a situation, it is connected to a specific environment. Crystallize that in your mind. Bringing forth as many little details as you can or feel comfortable doing. Visualize maybe the person that's involved standing right in front of you. What's the expression on their face? How are they standing? does their stance look like? What clothes do they wear? And dropping from that vision or that memory down into your body with a air of curiosity. Just getting curious around what are the sensations you notice in your body. Start from the top of your head and slowly work your way down at a pace that feels good to you. Is your jaw clenched? Are your shoulders tense? Does your heart feel heavy? Does your chest feel tight? Is there just a ball of energy sitting in your solar plexus? Is there a fluttering in your stomach? Maybe a tightness in your hips? And we're not attaching to any sensations that come up. We are looking at them lightly. We're curious about them. We want to know more. We are not letting them consume us. We're just simply noticing whatever's present. Knowing that whatever sensation your body gives you is something that you can handle. You can sit with it. And if at any time you feel like you need to take a break or if it feels like too much, you are absolutely safe to do so. Maybe focusing in on maybe a primary sensation, the one that feels the most strong, and singularly focusing on that area of your body. And exploring the depths of that sensation. What does it feel like? What does it look like? Is there a color that you would associate with this feeling? Is it light? Is it dark? Is it big? Is it small? Meeting whatever's coming up with so much love, with open arms and acceptance. This gets to be here. This part deserves love too. It deserves to take up space, and it deserves to be acknowledged. Just being with that sensation for another moment. Now consider, what is your earliest memory of having a similar sensation to this one? When was the first time that you felt that tightness or that fluttering or that tension? Not searching with your mind for a memory, but waiting for the memory to come to you. Most meditatively, letting your mind be quiet, staying in the body. Let your body tell you.
was the earliest memory this sensation was present. No matter what comes up, if it initially makes sense to you or whether it doesn't matter. Whatever comes up is right. Whatever comes up gets to be there. And accept, let it be there. How old were you in that memory? Were you a teenager, child, perhaps a toddler? Crystallize in your mind that version of you. What did they look like? How did you wear your hair back then? How tall were you? What clothes did you like to wear? What is the expression on your face in this situation? Clear as you can bring that to mind, the better. Recalling the situation this younger version of you found themselves to be in. How did they feel about it? Did they feel scared? Did they feel unheard? Did they feel unimportant? Visualizing your adult self extending your arms open to bring this younger version of you into a loving embrace. What did that little you need to hear back then? What were they longing to be told that they never got the chance to hear? What would have felt so good for them to know? Take your time and tell them exactly what they needed. Be the adult now that they needed to have back then. You're welcome to say this out loud. Or just saying it to yourself in your head. Fully express, what did they need to hear? They never got the chance to. Welcome to pause if you would like to take more time to make sure you tell them every little thing that they needed. When you are ready to wrap up that dialogue, letting that younger version of you know that you love them, that you see them. Visualizing yourself looking into their eyes and letting them know that you are going to be there for them from this point forward. And that they're not going to be ignored anymore. And closing out this practice. Giving them one last squeeze goodbye, saying whatever you would like to as your final thoughts to them. Releasing that younger version and letting them go for now. And coming back into your body now, just noticing how sensations have shifted, if anything feels looser or lighter, or even if there's still tension there, that is okay. There are no wrong answers. You cannot mess this up. Taking one last inhale through the nose, big deep breath, the deepest you've taken all day. A big sigh, releasing it out through your mouth. When you feel ready to, you can open your eyes, come back to your surroundings. And I hope you enjoyed. If that was your first little experience with somatic work, I hope that you found some value, some benefit from that.
Oh my God, that was absolutely wonderful, Jenny. I did this exercise myself and it felt so good. I think this is something that we should be taking a moment to practice almost every single day, if not every day. And just thinking about our mistakes and was it really our fault, and just loving ourselves unconditionally and showing that love to ourselves, it truly is a form of compassion and truly is a medicine, and it is really the time that is worth dedicating to, because with acceptance and work comes forgiveness. And when we accept ourselves, I think we show ourselves a path towards the ability to change. So as far as we're accepting our behaviors, our alter egos, or anything that we do not feel ourselves in, and I think the acceptance itself paves the way to change, and all those parts of blame and hatred that we hold for ourselves, I think when it is released, we gain a certain level of sensitivity. The habit of judging and blaming ourselves traps us in fears that we are not able to understand, and it veils over the goodness and mystery of truly what a good person we are. And I think, as I said before, cultivating a wise and forgiving heart can be so, so difficult. All these feelings can make us feel a loss of belonging. And I am so grateful that I got to discuss such an important and elemental topic of spiritual healing with you today, because I think all these feelings divides us from ourselves and blocks our true freedom of living every moment. And I would like to repeat this over and over again, because it is so true and it is so difficult to get over it and just move on. It is easier said than done. But after what we've discussed, after your guidance and this amazing exercise, I think people are going to find it so, so, it is like a proper, guideline, or I can say like a small course that we made on self-forgiveness, like a proper episode. And I am so grateful that you exist, Jenny. Your kind advice, guidance, I think it will help so many people to just realize that they are capable of forgiving themselves. And every word that you said on this podcast is going to be remembered by every single one of those who listen to this. I am so grateful for you, and thank you so much for being here and doing this with me.
Well, thank you so much, Sonia. I absolutely loved this conversation. I totally agree. Self-forgiveness is just such an important topic. It absolutely deserved its own episode, and I'm so grateful to
have been the one to help you dive into something so deep and so impactful. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ginny. To everybody listening, information about Ginny and her social media will be up on the show notes. I highly recommend that you follow her. And if you have any issues or any doubts, please feel free to reach out to me or Ginny for anything. And I will see you in the next episode.